Jesus' name. Amen. So before we start, our Bible verse is John 4, 46 to 54. But before we start, we're going to look at a few definitions of prayer. What is prayer? Well, what better place to look than the internet, right? You can find anything. Google it, right? So Google prayer and you'll find all kinds of wonderful things. One of them says, prayer is communication with God. We do this by praising Him, confessing our sin before Him, thanking Him, and asking for our needs and our desires. Prayer is communion with our Creator. When we pray, we engage in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. Another definition was prayer in the Hebrew Bible is an evolving means of interacting with God, most frequently through a spontaneous, individual, or collective, unorganized form of petitioning and or thanking God. When we speak or communicate from your heart and share your hopes and desires as well as your worries and problems, you can ask Him for help, direction, forgiveness, or healing. Whatever is on your mind, bring it to Him, acknowledging that His wisdom and timing are greater than yours. You can ask Him what He wants for you. So, however, when we come to prayer, prayer takes faith. It's an essential part of us coming into prayer in communication with God. We have to have faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:1, famous chapter of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for or pray for and certain of what we do not see. In the NIV, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So how can we make that real for us? Well, let's see. As we read from the Bible, if you have your Bible, or if you have your app, or if you have whatever, John 4, chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. So once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then he realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. So usually when we prepare a sermon, you ever heard a three-part sermon? Well, I figure I had lots of time, so I gave it a five-part sermon this morning, if we have time. Amen. No hecklers? He's in the back. All right. So prayer is seeking Jesus. The man account, the royal official, he had a heavy heart. How much do we take for granted sometimes? Sometimes in this extremities or a real bad situation that we come and we're looking into our life and ask God for what He is doing. But this royal official would have never come seeking Jesus had his son not been ill or dying. This royal official also had a humble heart. So he had a heavy heart, he had a humble heart. So a lot of time, disease, affliction, heartache, all these are great, what we call levelers. And what's a leveler? It's basically something typically like death that affects people of every class and rank in the same way, making everyone equal. We call death the great leveler. And we also say cancer is what we're most common with these days, is no respecter of anyone or any person. Thirdly, the man also had a honest heart. If we are correct about our conviction that faith is essential to prayer, then this royal official made a quantum leap of faith. He had a lot of faith because he traveled. If we calculate, by the time he left and met his servants halfway through going home, which was the next day because they said it was yesterday, so he traveled almost 2 days. If we can extrapolate the time in which he traveled. So he had a lot of faith to travel 2 days to be able to go because he wanted to go see Jesus. He wanted to ask him, and he was desperate for his son. Verse 52, when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. So by that time, like I said, he had only traveled about halfway back home. So secondly, prayer is asking Jesus. Now, as we study these passages of the Bible, we see about six different characteristics about the prayer ministry. So if we ask this royal official, he came and he asked directly. He traveled, like I said, almost 2 days to see Jesus because he had heard that Jesus was in Galilee, so he wanted to see him. So he came directly, and he could have said someone else. He could have sent one of his servants. Hey, can you go to Capernaum and ask Jesus to pray for my son who was over here and dying? He could have stayed with his son. But instead, he went directly. He figured, I need to go myself. Because this is too important. Because prayer of others are no substitute for our own prayer ministry. This thing is tugging down a little bit. Just there. And if we pray and seek, we already made a step of faith. If we ask someone else to pray for us or to intercede to Jesus for us, we do not believe we are worthy. Or sometimes that it's worthy for us to ask, so we send someone else to do it. So we need to go directly to the source, which is God, Jesus, right? So secondly, his request was stated simply. We don't need to impress God in our prayer. God already knows what our needs are. He already knows what we're going to ask before we even think it or speak it. So we need to express our need as real and simple as they are. You know, we don't need to go and, you know, some long-winded prayer. Once again, he knows what we need. And we just need to come simply to him with our petition, with our requests, or whatever our needs are. Thirdly, his request was specific. He was interceding for his son. He wasn't praying for his family. He wasn't praying for his community. He wasn't praying for the village where he came from. He went there, prayed specifically for my son who was dying. So it was, and he made the voyage to go and see Jesus to be very specific. Too many times in our prayer life, sometimes we, what we call, beat around the bush. We'll just go on in circles and whatever and just. And the Bible talks about that, you know, Babylon too much. We need to be specific. We need to be simple in our prayer. And we need to ask exactly what we need. Fourthly, he asked personally. He went personally to Jesus. Once again, like I said, we don't ask other people. We go personally. We have a direct line. All of us have a direct line to Jesus. We don't need to go ask our pastor, to go ask a leader in the church, go ask someone else, can you pray? We can all pray. Yes, we can ask for prayer from believers, brothers, and sisters, but when it's our personal need, we need to go directly. And also, we can pray with others. He asked persistently. Number 5, verse 47. He went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. Or in the King James Version, it says he implored Jesus to come and heal his son. Verse 49 again said, the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. He wanted Jesus to come with him. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. He just wanted, listen, you need to come down. And sometimes we need to be persistent in our prayer because we may not have access to Jesus physically, but spiritually we do. And we need to be persistent in our prayer, believing that the Lord will answer us. Okay? Number 6, he asked believingly. Royal official believed that Jesus could heal his son. In verse 50, Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. And the man, or the royal official, took him at his word and departed. He left and went back home. So when we come to the Lord, do we come believing that our prayers will be answered? Or sometimes we come and we're not, well, I hope you're going to do this, and I hope you're going to heal me, and I hope you, you know. Too many times we need to believe. Lord, I believe in you. You will. Of course, according to his will. So, which we'll see later. So again, we need faith. We need faith for us to believe that God will move within our requests, within our need. And at this time, his son was dying, was very sick. Oh, time is flying fast. I still got like 12 pages left. Just kidding. Number 3, prayer is believing Jesus. The royal official was convinced that he must go to Jesus to go. He must get Jesus to go to where his son was. Again, verse 47, come and heal my son. Verse 49, come down before my child dies. But Jesus told him, go back. Your son will be healed. That it wasn't necessary for Jesus to go. Jesus told him, I don't have to go. Believe that he is healed. And he left and departed and went back home. Now, when he met his officials or his servants halfway through home, going back home, and realized that his son had been healed. However, what would have happened to this man and family if his child hadn't been healed? He wouldn't have believed. But because he heard and eventually saw that his son was healed, it says, not only him, but his whole household believed in Jesus Christ at that time. So I'm sure in that home, there must have been a great revival of when understanding that Jesus, from far away, like we said, almost 2 days apart, had healed his son, and that he didn't even have to go and touch him or pray for him or be with him. He just said, go back. He'll be healed. And also, what happens when you pray and God's answer is far different from what you expect? Later on, we'll see 7 different ways how God answers prayer. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, speaks of asking and receiving. This is famous. You should all know this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and a door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? Once again, God will give us what we ask for. And if we're in prayer, in communion with God, what we pray for is usually his will in our lives, right? So when we come to God, we might be asking for a stone, but he will give us bread. Or if we ask for a snake, he will give us a fish. We can trust God to give us what we need, even when we do not know what to ask God. Didn't you ever have sometimes that you just come to prayer? God, life seems to be good, things to be good. I'm not sure what I should be praying for. What should we do? Well, it's basic. Ask God to reveal to you what you should pray for, who you should pray for. There's always a lot. In the Bible, there's always directive as to whom we should pray for. So the purpose of our life is to glorify God. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and when we do this, God has control and authority of us. And then he knows what we need. But not for us, but to bring his glory. It's for his glory. So when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, we give him our body, we give him our spirit. We allow him, okay, God, have control of our lives. Have control of us. And therefore, he will do great things. We may get sickness. We may get hurt. But if we are giving our bodies, something will happen, I believe, and I strongly believe, that something, whenever we have whatever happened, incidents or whatever, and we live according to God, he's going to use it for his glory. Whether it may be healing, whether it be blessing others, or just being able to use us who are hurt, you know. Rhonda, big car accident. She's in the hospital. 4 fractures in her pelvis and 1 fracture in her column, lumbar disc. And here she is, very painful, but yet God was able to use her to pray with others and to talk to other people in the ward that she was in. I think it was 3 others. So God can use us in any and every circumstances in our life. We just have to be open to be used by the Holy Spirit and to be able to give him praise and glory. Here she was in pain, and yet she was able to share and pray for others and touch other people's life in that ward. Number 4 already out of 5. We're doing good. How does God answer prayers? Well, I got part of a study that I put together. Actually, this sermon here is part of 3 different studies that sort of, and this one was solely on how God answered prayers. There are 7 ways, if we look in the Bible, that God answers prayers. Of course, the first one is yes. And we see it in 1 John 5:14, 15, according to his will. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And there are probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of examples in the Bible of how many ways that God answers yes. But sometimes God answers no. No. And a perfect example of that is Paul, with his thorn in his flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 9. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord answered, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So the answer to Paul's prayer for his thorn in his flesh was no. My grace is sufficient for you. Number three, it was a delayed response. And if we look at John 11, verses 1 to 46, it's a story about the death of Lazarus. When they came, they told Jesus, listen, Lazarus is dead. You got to come. And verse 6 says, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. So he waited 2 days before going to Lazarus. And by that time, of course, as the story tells, he was dead. Then he threw everybody out and he raised him from the dead. But it was a delayed answer to what we normally expect. Lazarus' sisters would probably want him to come right away because Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Come and heal him. But he said, not right now. He waited 2 days before he went. So number four, different. Sometimes we'll ask for something, but God will give us a different answer. It'll be something different than what we thought we should get or we should receive, right? So in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10, it's about Paul's ministry and where he was traveling all over the place. Paul wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit would not let him. Then he wanted to go to Mysia. Then the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him to either. So he ended up going to Troas, I'm not sure how that's. And in verse 9, and during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing by and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So here Paul was determined to go a certain place. The Spirit stopped him. Okay, I want you to go a different place. So he thought. So he went a different place. Again, the Spirit stopped him. So then he went to a third different place. And then during the night, he said, no, come to Macedonia. You need to come as we need you. So be ready, because we never know where God may send us. I heard it said once, I'm not going to pray. Or I'm going to pray to go to Africa so the Lord won't send me to Africa. It's kind of a joke. That was Rhonda that told me that story a long time ago. Number five, the Lord sometime will answer little by little. In Deuteronomy 7:22, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. So, the Israelites have gone away from Egypt, 40 years in the desert, and they're finally arriving to the promised land. But the promised land is inhabited with all the ites. So, all the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Lots of ites. So lots of different communities or different even nation that were living in the promised land. So as the Israelites would say, well, You need to drive out all these people out of the nation. They're too powerful for us. We can't do it. We have to rely on you, God. But God said, little, if I get rid of them all at once, then all the wild animals will come, and then you won't be able to handle all these wild animals. So it was for their own good. The answer was little by little. And then he told them in the story later, he said, you get to when you see a nation and you bump them out, or you have to get rid of them all. Don't leave one standing. Do not make covenant with either one of them. And the story goes on. So one by one, they were driven out of the nation. So number six, unasked, something that you didn't ask for. God sometime will answer your prayer for something you didn't ask. And we see this in 2 Chronicles 1, verses 11, 12. Solomon, son of David. God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches and honor, nor for death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore, because remember, Solomon had just asked, I need wisdom and knowledge. He was young. He needed wisdom and knowledge to be able to govern the Israelite as their new king. So, for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made for you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was ever before and none after you will have. So he gave him much more than what Solomon had asked for. And as we know, he's the richest king that ever lived in the history. Number seven, abundantly. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. A lot of time we ask for a little, but God will give us abundantly because he knows, first of all, what we can handle, and he knows our heart as to what we're going to use it for his glory. However, as I said, God always answers prayer in seven different ways, but not necessarily according to our framework or our will. He knows what's best for us. If I was to pray, God, I don't know, I want $100 million. Do I need $100 million? No. What would I do with $100 million? Probably give it away. Rhonda saying, "Ooh." But how would it affect me if I had $100 million? What would it do? So therefore, we have to be careful. Once again, if we're in communion with God, if we're in a prayer, and we have this close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we, through the Holy Spirit, will know what to pray for. And of course, God will know ahead of time what we're going to ask for. But it's to be in a communion with God. If we're not in a communion, then we're not on the same wavelength. And if we're not on the same wavelength, well, we're going to ask things that are way out of whack one way or the other because we're not in communion with God. So therefore, it's important when we're in prayer first to prepare our hearts to receive from God and to be according to his will. When I pray a lot, I've prayed over my Christian walk for several years for healing. And I'm always careful to always be. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell me exactly what to pray for and what part to heal. Other times, you just say, go and pray. I have no idea or what it is. Or sometime I was in the church. I prayed, at the end of the service, a huge church south of Montreal, Nouvelle Vie. And we were talking with friends, you know, and my eye kept catching this bunch of people that were talking there, but there was one specific lady. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I just broke down, and I couldn't even talk. I'm trying to tell Rhonda, I had to go there. And until I went there, I couldn't speak. I was full of the Spirit. I have no idea who this woman is. I have no idea what she needed or if God just wanted to bless her. But it's to be obedient and go and pray. And I prayed, and the Holy Spirit just came upon the whole gang that was there, and we just had a wonderful prayer time. And we left. What happened afterward? I never seen her again, whatever. But it's to be open at this time for when God wants to use you, who wants to use you to pray for others, to lift them up, just to encourage each other. As brother and sister, we should always be encouraging. Oh, I still got 20 minutes. We can go on and on. Number five, I'm almost done. And then we'll have a wonderful time of prayer. Of course, we look at all the good things God has done and God is doing in our life and about prayer, how we should pray and have faith and all that. But the question is, we have to ask ourselves, what would keep God from answering our prayers? You know, because sometimes we just wonder, we're like, God, are you there? Are you listening? I got a petition for you. Hey, I'm asking you here. I'm pleading with you, like, what's going on? You know? So sometimes we don't understand why God doesn't answer our prayer. Well, I've looked and we found three obstacles that would keep God from answering our prayer. Number one, unconfessed sin. If we have sin in our lives, if we are either doing something, we have a bad habit, if we have a pattern or behavior, sometimes it's our behavior, it's how we are, or if we're always nitpicking at everyone, or if we're being negative. Sometimes we need to just stand back and ask God, because sometimes we don't realize. We don't realize some of the sin that may be in our lives. Many years ago, actually down shore, we had a young Asian, Sam Rafkogel, and he had come for a specific, he was an evangelist, and he was going around, and we had a wonderful time down in New Bend prayer, and he had asked, I remember he had asked, I was a young Christian then, many years ago, at least about 35 years ago, and he had asked, says, listen, you need to ask God if there's someone, if there's sin in your life that you don't realize. And then we had good carpet time, and the Lord revealed what was going on, and then we asked God for forgiveness. In Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If we have sin cherished in our hearts, the Lord will not listen. Okay? Number two. Oh, this is going to be a good one. This is good. Unresolved discord. Do we all get along with everyone? Who's never fought their brothers or sisters, right? Famous in their family, right? 1 Peter 3:7 talks about husband, obviously husband and wives. Husband, the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. And treat them with respect as a weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing, nothing will hinder your prayers. So most importantly, you live with your wife. You spend a lot of time with your wife, especially now that we're retired. It's even more time. Oof. So we got to live in one accord. So do not be in discord so that it will hinder your prayers. Now, I heard it say over the years, and this is sad, it says, I'll never forgive my brother. Maybe a brother in blood, could be a brother in Christ. Or my neighbor. I've heard stories. I had one guy come to work every day. He was always upset because his neighbor was dumping garbage or whatever that was blowing into his yard. The things he was imagining, he was like, just love your neighbor. And also, I'll never forgive my friend. I heard that. People that had been friends for years, and all of a sudden, bang, I'll never forgive him. Unresolved discord will make it such that it will hinder your prayer life, and your relationship with God. God cannot use us to the extent or to the full potential if we have unconfessed sin, unresolved discord, and number three, unstable faith. James 1, 7, 8, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And what does it mean here? That unstable faith. I believe one day, I don't believe one day. I didn't believe one day, I'm all over the map. I'm all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing. Today I believe God, tomorrow I don't believe God. Tomorrow, the next day, oh well, I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there. You're all over. You're double-minded. You're unstable in your faith. What better way to start your day than to take time and spend with God in prayer and reading his word and asking him? I mean, when I used to work, I used to get up very early. Hey, Rhonda. I used to spend time in prayer. Well, I still do. But specifically, I would always say, God, use me in my workplace that I may touch someone, share your word, or just be there for them. And you wouldn't believe over the years as a manager, not because I was the boss, whatever, but I took time to spend and with my employees. I spent time to know my employees and their families and to share, if I had an opportunity, to share the word of God with them, to share my relationship that I had with God. And God blessed immensely in different places. I've worked in here and there. I am done. We have 10 minutes left. I guess I'm supposed to invite the worship team. Not used to doing this. Oh, I am not done yet. I'm not done with you yet. Rhonda and I moved back. It'll be 3 years this spring. And I guess God has sent us almost in like the Israelite for 40 years. We were gone for 30 years, and we moved here and there. And as a study, we had great neighbors. We met great people along the way. We had great churches. We had great fellowship. We experienced some mighty, mighty, and we saw some mighty things happen. Comes to healing, comes to people coming to salvation. But like I said, it'll be 3 years this spring that we move back. When I moved back and I saw, first of all, a lot of you had aged over the years, and we did too. Don't take it personally. We've been gone 30 years, but we used to come every summer, so we used to see you. But when I came back, my heart was broken. I saw a lot of people who had experienced different type of sickness, different type of heart conditions, whether it be cancer or maybe they were gone. The Lord put some people on my heart to pray. And I started praying. We've had some wonderful services here in the last 2.5 years that we've been here. And the thing that I pray, where are the people who are in need not coming to the altar? We have a wonderful team here, prayer team that will pray for you and with you. But if you have a need, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, we have people available every Sunday. So this is a new year, 2025. And I'm praying that we're going to see these altars with the people that have needs. So I invite you, as we worship together, I invite those that are on the prayer team to come up. And we're going to pray with you for whatever God has in store for you for 2025. Because all He has for you are great things, great wonderful things. So please come as we sing and worship. Thank you. They're doing a great job. One of my favorite songs. Make room. Make room for God. But make room for God to move in you. To receive the Holy Spirit. And to receive your healing power. That comes from God. Just going to close in prayer. And I pray, God, that you would just... Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love for us, Lord. And as we pray and communicate with you, Lord God, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive from you, to receive your direction, your guidance through your Holy Spirit. May you fill us with your presence, Lord, and guide us through each and every day. As we look for 2025, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just make this a wonderful year in our lives. And that we would just continue and recommit ourselves unto you. Lord, that we would just commit our bodies, our spirit, our mind unto you, Lord God. That you will be able to use us as your instruments of glory, so that your name would be glorified. For those who need to go, peace be with you. But I pray, God, that everybody who has a need, that we would start off the year 2025 to spend time with you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Surrender.
Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest.